this sermon weaves its own, and to what effect, you'll have to tell me. Every 56 days I receive a call. No, not a call from God, but rather a phone call from an anonymous number. I do not know why it always comes up anonymous or restricted, but every 56 days it never fails. And when it rings, a conglomeration of senses pump through my veins. Regret, annoyance, unchecked frustration. These are just some to name a few. And yet I know why I am getting that call. Why they are so persistent in finding me. They know something about me, you see. They want me to come in. They are the American Red Cross. Oh yes, they love me down there. They've had my blood before and they want it again. I'm O positive, you see, and they, by science, tell me that means something to their cause, that my lifeline can provide for at least three others, that, Mr. Russo, you have no idea how far your blood can go. I must say it can be quite an ego trip, quite a venture down arrogance lane. Yes, I provide for three others, thank you, yes. And yet, even though I am fully aware of what my donation can offer, I still sometimes encounter that negative range of aforementioned emotions when the phone calls, regret, annoyance, frustration. But why? Why should I ever feel regret at the prospect, indeed even the reality, of giving to others to help them, perhaps even to save them? Well, in an amazing display of candor, I must say that on some of those 56 days, I do not pick up the call. I know it's awful. You see, I convince myself that it's not them calling. I say, it's just probably one of those automated messages that wants you to rate the service performed upon your car or some salesperson trying to sell you a new magazine. Even though I'm pretty sure I know why I don't pick up that phone call, and even though I regret it afterwards, I think the reason why I don't is because of the sense of obligation. Feeling obligated to do something is one of my biggest hang-ups. That you must do something. You must. You have no other choice. You must do something. That bothers me for some reason. Now, of course, this doesn't mean to imply that I'm unreliable, undependable, or untrustworthy. I hope my record here so far speaks to the contrary. That said, there are nonetheless times in my life that I feel less than happily obliging to do what ought must be done. For instance, Anya, my girlfriend, has this habit of wanting a kiss hello and a kiss goodbye at every possible situation that calls for such. Yes, Pat, I can see you looking at Cindy, but look over here. I am preaching about this. It's unbelievable. We could have said goodnight to each other. We could have said a million I love yous. I could be all the way at the other end of a stadium parking lot in the middle of a blizzard trying to open a snowy door to my icy car. And still, if she doesn't get that kiss, it's as if the abominable snowman had stole my keys because I'm not going anywhere. I tell you, though, and I'm sorry, honey, it's that kind of obligatory response that I must do this that really gets to me. And I think sometimes obligation gets to you, too. I think when you sometimes hear, over and again, perhaps, that you are scripturally and theologically obligated to give, it perhaps makes you a little less inclined. I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. I honestly don't know, for I can't get into each of your individual psyches to know verity from fallacy. All I know is that for me, obligation is a tricky word. And for many of us who mentally engage in these postmodernistic times where individuality reigns supreme, it's simply difficult to hear that what you have earned, what is yours, actually belongs to someone else or something else. But there's always a but. I also know that that's something else, which is indeed this place, also belongs to you. It is here for you. It is here to give back to you. My friends, this church is the proverbial O negative, a universal donor, and it is here to transfuse to you an abundance that your paycheck could never, ever give to you. Our church is indeed a mighty fortress, a rock upon which your faith can stand, a foundation upon which you and your children can be raised. It is a capable wife. It is a capable wife. It is a capable wife who is far more precious than jewels, and it perceives that all her merchandise, indeed all of you, are profitable, and our lamp will never go out at night. She opens her hand to the poor at our brother's place, and she reaches out her hands to the needy at Enpin. She brings Brad and Lindsay together in marriage, and she is here at the baptism of the beautiful Ariana. Our church is strength and dignity, and her clothing is like strength and dignity because Cindy opens the mouth of wisdom and the teaching of Diane is kindness on her tongue. Her children rises up in Sirtis in Montana and glory in Moscow because Mark's excellency at the organ surpasses all others. So give her, this church, a share of the fruits in your hand. And let her words be praised for all the gates of this city. For this church and this place is a beacon of light and the meaning of Proverbs 31, a capable wife. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. But my friends, even though she is a good wife, she is indeed an aging wife. A widow several times over. Her physical needs are many, and all one has to do is look up to see just that. You see it? Now, you might be one who likes abstract art, and you might find that that's a beautiful piece of art up there. But it's really just another expense. As Cindy rightly says, this building is both a blessing and our curse. It's an old building. It's a gift to us. It's both, and it is what it is. And do forgive me for speaking so plainly now. But you need not just look upwards, but you can simply read through the novel that is your bulletin. We have a million programs going on in this church. In these days that we are here at the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill, you can do anything your heart desires. You can come in for a senior adult movie night and watch Up on a 63-inch HD TV. Where were you all on Friday? You on Monday nights, on the first Monday of the month, can go out and have a drink of beer at Theology on Tap. And talk about theology. Where are you all? There are so many things that this church is doing. It is the definition of awesome. Doesn't that make you feel alive? And give me another amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Nonetheless, But science also tells us that an O negative only has one match. We can only receive from one other. An O negative. Ideally, of course, it wouldn't be that way. Ideally, the church should be a self-sustaining O negative, and you all should just be AB positive, universally receiving from us, just constantly one way, getting everything that we could possibly give. The idealistic thinking rarely encounters the constructs of reality on its discourse. And thus, here we are face to face in this state, in this economy, with our art, in this place. As an O negative, this church needs an exact match. In financial support, yes, but also in body, in spirit, and in determination. It is the only way that all of this works. None of it works if we merely look at it, however, as obligation. Because I said so. Because Cindy said so. Because Matt may tell you so, or that the scripture tells you so. If you elect to follow obligation, there will always be this sense of reluctantly, you know, I have to just abide by it. It only works, my friends, if you want it. Do you want this place to succeed? Do you want this church to be a beacon of light in this city? Do you want this church to forever last so that all the children who are here on these steps can forever sing the praises of this ministry? Do you want this church to live on into eternity? I suspect you do. So forget about the obligations. Forget about the demands. And forget about Mark Bernstein's baseball bat that he had here last week. It's about you wanting this ministry to be relevant and alive, to be as enriching as blood, becoming the lifeline for you, your other, your child, your grandchild. Isn't that, after all, why are you here in the first place? Trust me, no one is wanting to ask, and I certainly am not, for your spirit or your wallet to go into anaphylactic shock by overcommitting yourselves. We are merely asking for you to look around, to look at this place, to look at each other. Do you notice who you sit in the pews with? Look at each other. Look up at the choir loft and sit and gaze at that beautiful organ. Look towards Ariana and dream. Dream of all the children that are here. Dream of all the children that are here and the spiritual direction and education that we can provide if we are given a match. Reflect also on the passing of all those like Bob Dyer, all those who have already given so much. And think about how we can enrich the heart that is still surviving and all of the hopes. And mostly, never leave this place without considering and knowing that we are family. We are family in this place. We are unified as one under one call. And to me, 2 weeks ago, there was no better personification of that. 2 weeks ago, as many of you remember, all of us, virtually all of us, went downstairs to watch a mission trip slideshow. There was no greater moment in my life than that day. And not because you were watching a slideshow that I had some work in constructing, but because all of us packed into this tiny Harris room, which is big when no one's in it, but when 125 are in it, it's very small. Standing room only, we gathered around and we watched what our kids did in a different state. which encapsulate what you can make as a return on your giving to this church. Paul writes imperfectly for this place. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us for the rendering of this ministry. Not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you. You have obtained the surpassing grace of God that is forever yours. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift made possible through you. Thanks be to God for the gift that is the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill, a church and a place that is forever yearning, forever dreaming, forever ministering to be a universal